Welcome to Healthy Outcomes, brought to you by Baker Tilly, bringing you the latest trends and hottest topics in healthcare. Baker Tilly is a leading advisory, tax, and assurance firm dedicated to helping healthcare organizations explore ways in which they can win now and anticipate tomorrow. Let's go there.
Hi, my name is Mark Ross, and I'm the leader of Baker Tilly's healthcare provider practice. Joining me for today's Healthy Outcomes podcast is Heather Herk and Brad Gummig, two of my colleagues here at Baker Tilly. Heather is a director and Brad is a senior manager in our healthcare solutions practice. Heather, Brad, thanks for joining me. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here today.
Yeah, excited, Mark. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Well, Heather, Brad, and I are going to cover several topics related to the healthcare sector today, with a primary focus on hospitals and healthcare systems. And within that focus area, we're going to be focusing a bit on data, right? Data analysis, and information technology. But before we get into the Q&A here, I was just going to open up with a couple of comments relative to what I'll call the state of the union relative to healthcare systems today. As we all know, it's a very challenging operating environment and has been for some time, for a number of years, for a wide variety of reasons. We don't have time today on this podcast to get into all those reasons, but we will mention just a few. But I did a podcast about 6 months ago with Kevin Holleran from Fitch. And on that podcast, Kevin was talking about the year 2022. And I quote Kevin, and he said 2022 was the worst year ever from an operating standpoint. That's the quote on that podcast that Kevin provided. And Kevin indicated during that podcast that some healthcare systems are doing well in the current environment. Not everybody. You can't paint the whole industry with a broad brush. But there's a significant percentage of providers that are, in fact, struggling a bit financially today. And the struggles start at the top line. From a revenue perspective, there's reimbursement challenges out there relative to Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement. The Medicare managed care organizations, the commercial payers, struggles there getting paid fair rates for services provided. So certainly challenges on the top line, the revenue side of the equation. But then when we think about expenses, we've got labor pressures, which are compounded. We're talking about it when I say labor pressures, wage rates, benefit costs, et cetera, have elevated significantly over the last 3 to 5 years. And then we have contract labor issues exacerbating those labor pressures. We got the inflationary environment. We now have the interest rate, the higher interest rate environment causing some struggles. We've got industry consolidation. We've got cyber issues that continue to be talked about in a very pervasive way relative to healthcare systems. And then we've got IT, which is really what we're going to be focusing on a bit here today. And when I talk about IT, and again, Brad and Heather are going to be talking, and they can talk more intelligently about IT than I can, but we're going to be making reference to the investment. I mean, IT is not cheap, right? And the investment that systems need to make to have appropriate information technology platforms to run their business. And that is, in fact, a struggle. So again, a lot of headwinds. 2022, again, referring to that podcast with Kevin Holleran, worst year ever. 2023, we have seen things, I don't want to use the word stabilize, but maybe improve just slightly as compared to 2022. But the challenges remain, right? The challenges do, in fact, remain. So Heather, starting with you here, in an environment where so many healthcare systems are operating at negative margins, right? What are some of the key activities that the more successful healthcare systems are doing today that others may not be doing as much of or are not doing at all?
Yep. Thanks, Mark. I think one of the most important activities that some of our health systems that are more successful in this area are doing is really tapping into their data in a strategic way to really synthesize that information, understand it, and ultimately take action on what the data is saying. So when I say data, I mean, how do you make sure that you're grabbing the right information from the right systems and aggregating that data into insights that can help drive conversations around the business? And not only once, right? Like, this really does need to be a focus area that's a recurring conversation. So grab the right data that's reliable, that's accurate, formulate that into insights that you can bring to stakeholders across the organization and have conversations about what is happening in your service lines, in your revenue, in your expense categories, so that together with different stakeholders at that same table, you can have conversations about what to do about it.
Sure. Okay. Brad, anything to pile on there?
I think Heather hit the nail on the head. I think it's bringing the right folks to the table ahead of just getting a bunch of data, right? What do we need to look at? Where do we need and want to focus on? And then potentially the data drive you somewhere else. But I think it's starting with those use cases. It's starting with the strategic review of those data sets and pulling the right folks in the organization together at the right time.
Yep. I think it's really a cultural thing too. If you have an organization that is accepting of talking about data and insights on a regular basis, just it makes it that much easier to drive change and be able to stay on top of what the data within your organization is telling you.
Yeah. I think the culture word is oftentimes too often used, frankly, but I think it's a perfect description here, right? Is it a data-driven culture where we're relying on data, not gut feel, not kind of some directional assumptions? I think the culture is a big deal. And I think that we've absolutely seen that come from the top down from a leadership perspective, from the C-suite down to the analysts that are really digging into the details.
So in summary, organizations, any organization in any industry, right, needs data to make informed decisions, whether they're tactical day-to-day operating decisions or more longer term strategic decisions. Having access to meaningful data you can take action on is absolutely critical. So there are, when we think about the healthcare universe, the healthcare provider or healthcare system universe, there are some providers out there that have highly sophisticated IT platforms and systems, and there are some that may not have highly sophisticated systems. So Heather, can you talk a little bit about those providers that have the less sophisticated systems, some of the struggles that they go through relative to, again, producing meaningful data to make informed decisions?
Yep, absolutely. I think when you don't have that emphasis and cultural data-driven mindset, sometimes what we see is that health systems are faced with a decision on where do I even pull the right data from to be able to answer a question that I'm getting downstream from one of my stakeholders. And what that leads to is a lot of different ad hoc processes to try and pull together a one-off report. Sometimes it takes days or even weeks. And by the time that insight is pulled together, that stakeholder that was originally asking for the insight doesn't even need that anymore because they've already made a decision because they couldn't wait for the data to catch up. Sometimes organizations are flying blind. They don't even have the ability to piece together those reports on an ad hoc basis. So they just have to get, whatever gut feel or directional answer that they can to help drive major strategic business decisions. Sometimes they just don't have the right resources.
Sure. Sure. Brad, anything to add there?
I think just from a real world example, I think the example Heather gave is all too often true where we've talked to folks and the analyst knows the data is not available. They have no way to get that. Or if they do, it is going to take weeks. And we've effectively been told at times that, my leadership will ask for this report. And I essentially just put it in the special filing cabinet that is the garbage can because I can't pull it. And by the time I would pull it, it's no longer valid. I no longer need it. I mean, that's direct quotes we've heard from analysts, unfortunately, because of the level of effort or just the lack of availability on some of the data. So I think that is a sad reality in some situations. In other cases, it's not. But I think just having that access to consolidated data is huge for folks.
I think, too, one of the downstream impacts that is probably important to note here of not having access to the right data is that once you do finally get those insights that you are able to generate to your downstream stakeholder, oftentimes we see there's a lot of questions about how that data was pulled together or can it be trusted? So the conversations with the stakeholders that need that information are more around, wait, help me understand what you pulled together. How did we get to this answer? As opposed to, okay, great, I trust this answer. I know that there is a problem here. how do we work together to resolve whatever issue we've uncovered with the data?
That's a great point. Sometimes that the stakeholders, right, may not like the answers that the data is providing to them. So sometimes they'll go back and they'll challenge the data, right? Where's the data coming from? How do you produce it? I don't think the underlying data is accurate. The conclusions that the data, are leading us to are not appropriate. So sometimes we see that too, right? Where people can, the answers are not always what they expect them to be or want them to be.
Yeah, well, I think it's hard too, Mark, because I think, right, a lot of times since this is, a software or an analytics tool, a lot of times that purchasing goes through IT and you don't have the right folks at the table, right? It's the shiny new tool that you're buying that can do a lot. But did we have the right folks available and engaged up front during that process, whether that's during the proposals or whether once the decision's made, here's how we're going to use the tool, right? Bringing in those stakeholders to help define it. So not only, I think oftentimes folks can get lost in, well, we have the tool, but did we do the assessment up front during the implementation to create the right data sources and sets with the folks that are going to be requesting the reports, that need the reports, that we know we're going to be engaging, post implementation of the shiny new tool that the organization really needs.
Sure. Well, actually, where I was going with some of my rambling comments, Brad, before you commented there, was really data integrity, right? Because sometimes people can challenge the integrity of the data that was ingested, say, into a technology platform to produce the insights, Heather, that you referred to. So how can they overcome maybe some of those challenges where they've got some of the stakeholders challenging the underlying integrity of the data? It's very important to make sure that the data, right, is accurate, solid, et cetera, and is being ingested into the system appropriately. What do you guys recommend to the clients that you work with relative to data integrity? Can you talk a little bit about that for me?
I think first, it really starts with what Brad mentioned earlier, is understanding how we need to use data and what are the client's unique business challenges. So what use cases are we solving for? Once we have the use cases understood, then we can start looking at the data that we have available to us and pulling the right data sets, looking at it through a quality assurance lens to make sure that the data is accurate and able to fully support the use cases that were identified upstream. So without understanding of what challenges the business is after and what problems they're trying to solve with the data and insights, it makes it really hard to even begin to determine whether or not the data that you're using for your insights will be able to solve that problem.
Got it. Well said. Well said, Heather. Brad, anything there before I move on to my next question?
I think Heather hit the nail on the head. I mean, right, it's as simple as something like, why do we have three different length of stay definitions at an organization? But I think the key there is the questions and the use cases and the why. Maybe we do need a couple of those for something that would seem as simple as length of stay and how we track that. But I think drilling into those use cases with the right folks, I think alleviates the heartburn and the frustration and the potential inaction that happens on the back end of some of the report creation and dashboarding and analytics.
A lot of times the use cases, though, might be driven by one stakeholder group, they really need to account for the needs of some of the other stakeholders that would be involved in the decision making. So for example, maybe we are trying to understand the overall service level performance for our cardiologist team. We can't look at financial metrics alone without understanding some of the details underneath what's happening within that service line. So for example, do I have a number of doctors that are performing cardiac surgeries and they're not necessarily yielding the same performance results? Well, is one doctor more expensive, quote unquote, but also handling the sickest patients? Like, how do we make sure that we're integrating that lens that can bring together the full story in our analytics so that we can have conversations that push beyond how did we get to this analytics set and drive more towards, okay, we fully understand the problem here. It's represented in our analytics and we know that we have a problem. How do we jointly resolve this together? What initiative do we want to pursue to make this better? And then how do we monitor it over time?
Again, well said, Heather. And so we've said the word data. I haven't counted, but we've said the word data quite a bit here so far in our first 15 minutes of discussion. But But coming back to that word, Brad, and you've already made reference to a little bit of this, both you and Heather have, you know, relative to good data analytics, you know, what does that look like? And maybe the best way to tell our listeners what that looks like, Brad, is to give them an example of where analytics have been used successfully to successfully enhance or improve an organization's financial performance.
Yeah, I think it's as a foundational question. What is good, quote unquote, data? What is good data analytics? I think for me, I'll probably start higher level here and then drill into a little more specificity and then into, you know, a real life example. So I think the first couple are really helpful, at least for me, when I think about good data analytics. I think the first thing that it is it tells a story, right? What sometimes that's a great, wonderful, happy fairy tale. And sometimes it's a bit of a nightmare, depending on what we're looking at and where we're digging. But I think regardless, as we're producing good quality analytics, it's telling a story about what's happening, whether that's across the organization or whether that's within a specific set of service lines or one service line, that story is being told, and that allows us to drill a little bit further. I think the other thing that it allows to happen at an organization is good analytics really unifies an organization. So we talked a little bit about culture. I think it fits with the culture comment, but I think that it brings together groups for a lot of the reasons we talked about. One, if we're doing that upfront work to define use cases and to define definitions and key performance indicators, it's unifying the hospital group and the physician group. It's bringing together the clinical leaders and the operational and the finance folks. And they're really able to rally around a shared definition and a shared story that's being told with the data. So I think that's something that we've absolutely seen at orgs where, you know, sometimes the hospital physician groups, that relationship is quite full of tension. It's contentious. We've seen that almost dissolve and allow folks to come around the same table and really have a shared vision for what they're trying to transform and execute. I think those are the two broadest things that I would say good data analytics does and allows. I think a little more detailed, as I think it's a consolidated platform. And that platform can be defined a lot of different ways. The way that I would think about it is the data sets we're bringing in. So from a healthcare perspective, do I have visibility to finance, operations, and some clinical details to have in one spot where I'm not having to piece together, you know, 10 separate reports or three different source systems? Again, I think from an ease of use, it's a great setup that way. But also I think from the trust and the validity of the data, it's much easier to have it in one consolidated spot. You know, not exactly the same, but I think parallel example, right? You've seen Epic have this platform approach. I think it's kind of the poster child in healthcare of, we don't need these best in breed tools. I don't need a bolt-on lab system. Epic is your platform. I think analytics is very similar to that. I think in the same vein, Epic's helped with that with kind of ease of reporting and things like Clarity, and their different reporting tools. But I think good analytics is consolidated in that sense. And then I think most specifically, and we've hit on this, I think this will take us into kind of a real life example, is it's meaningful and it's actionable. So I could have all of the data in the world, but do I have really insightful things that I could act on? The DRIP acronym, data rich, information poor, is what immediately comes to mind there. So I think for me, you know, a classic example of what we saw in an organization was within their orthopedics department. You know, they had four or five physicians within that department that were really performing the operations when we took a look at, you know, a couple of different DRGs related to total hip and knee replacements. And what we were able to find there was a couple of different things. Initially, we were really just looking at supply utilization. And we were able to discover one of the physicians was a giant outlier, like twice as expensive as far as the implants that were being used. So that was item one. But I think the more interesting dialogue that we got into was the implant actually wasn't compatible with their Mako robot. And so that led us into other conversations around, one, the robotic investment they had made, and things like, well, how is the average length of stay being impacted? You know, not just the supply cost is being factored in here. What was the outcome because we didn't use the robot? And then what was the length of stay? Because, right, a big driver in doing robotic procedures is driving that length of stay down. And so that allowed us to bring together, again, multiple resources across that org to dig into those details. Hey, where do we need to change what supply is being used? How does that impact our robotic procedures? what's the vision for where we need to go from here, I think was is a cool example of touching so many different areas with just one initial kind of thread in that story.
Thanks, Brad. That was certainly a robust response. And just to follow up on that orthopedic example, certainly we're talking here or focusing on, we talk about data analytics and the data analysis. We're more so looking, Brad, at the financial side of things, right? Like you mentioned, the one orthopedic physician ended up, supply utilization, the implants using were higher cost. But we're not talking about here the clinical outcomes in a lot of detail, but we don't want to lose sight of that, right? And we know that the clinical outcomes of what any healthcare provider does are absolutely the number one priority, right? And the financial analysis that we're doing to help our healthcare systems understand their business better is, I don't want to say it's secondary. The two are connected, but I just want to make sure quality care, clinical outcomes are number one.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that hits back to that consolidated data set approach of, I've got to have the clinical data in there as well, whether we're talking about the length of stay, or whether we're talking about the patient severity, or whether we're talking about where they were discharged to, what type of care do they need post-procedure, that we're taking into account all those things. Yeah, it's never a question of where can we cut, what is the supply that needs to change. I think it's that holistic view of, here's why the cost is high and it may need to stay high, but here's where maybe we have an opportunity on the reimbursement side or another lens that we can look at. But yeah, Mark, I think you're spot on, right? The triple aim is still the triple aim when it comes to bringing these data sets together.
Good deal. All right. So moving on to another, I guess, broader topic, although related, we touched on it already. I talked about all the challenges on the expense side of the equation, and certainly just about every client we work with, I would say across the board, they're looking to manage their expenses more proactively, mitigate increases in those expenses, reduce expenses in areas where there's opportunities to do so. So certainly expenses are a focus. But Brad, what are some of the other areas providers are looking at or exploring to improve financial performance? And again, we've touched on some of these already, so maybe your response here could be a bit summarized.
I think, right, making sure we're comparing payers and benchmarking them against one another where we can drill in and focus on denials or downgrades. I think ensuring that without even having to go through complicated expected reimbursement calculations, if we were to compare actuals to actuals, and again, this is something that we've quickly done with other organizations, where do we see variances between our top commercial payers, for example, to make sure, do I need to bring this to my monthly or quarterly meeting with my payer or a contract negotiation to say, hey, exact same procedure, same DRG, same patient severity, you're paying me half of what your competitors are paying me. Sometimes there's a reason for that, right? But again, having that data in hand on a case-by-case basis, summarized up, I think is a big deal to focus outside of just the expense side, making sure we're maximizing our reimbursement opportunities. And so I think being able to look at things like my 835 remittances on top of just my patient accounting transaction data has been, something that I've seen in the past with other tools, a struggle. I've got to jump from one spot to the other. Actually, at Baker Tilly, we've created and developed an analytics solution in the market called Data Signs that brings together a lot of those data sets that I was talking about. So financial, operational, clinical, to bring in and say, hey, how can I connect patient accounting data? So my Cerner, my Epic, my Meditech, pick a vendor, to my 837 claims or remittances. So within three clicks, I can see every single level of grain down to the supply item level to understand why something was, for instance, reimbursed a certain way or why it wasn't. So I think making sure that we don't get blinders and that we're really looking across the opportunities, to your point, Mark, and saying, hey, let's not just blanket look at expenses. Let's see what that full picture looks like as we drill into reimbursement.
Got it. And some of this, I mean, Brad, as you're talking, right, and as you and Heather both know, I'm not necessarily an IT guru. I don't hold myself out to be one. But some of the concepts you're introducing or talking about, they actually do seem pretty basic, right? That, I ask myself, well, why, you mean all healthcare systems don't do what you just described? And they don't, because it's also incredibly complex, right? So although it seems basic at its core when you talk about it, I think it's very complicated to get at the data, to produce the data, you know, you've got data, you know, healthcare systems are using a number of core systems, right, that they're extracting data from. They need to connect that data intelligently and then produce in a way that they can effectively analyze it. So with that said, Heather, my next question is, how do organizations kind of overcome that challenge? And how do we help our clients maybe overcome that challenge of, again, numerous core systems, data can be overwhelming. Just extracting the data from a system that is in a format that can be then ingested into another system to do the data analysis. How do organizations deal with that? Because again, the more sophisticated systems probably have it down and they can do it. They can do it efficiently. They can do it effectively. But I would argue that every organization should be in a position to do it. But again, easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be a challenge and it can grow pretty big, pretty fast. So at Baker Tilly, some of the help that we provide our clients with, small or large, is starting with that understanding of what are the client's business challenges specific to the insights and analytics they need to drive performance improvement across the organization, and then work with them to get the right data from the right system, make sure that the data pulls are accurate, reliable, recurring, and whether that's with their own IT resources or if it is to help support them because they don't have the resources in-house to pull that data, we assist them with data acquisition and then that quality assurance. Once they've selected a product or analytics solution, whether it's homegrown or vended out, they need to make sure that that solution is configured to the business needs of their organization. So do they have a very specific definition of their cardiac service line or orthopedic service line? Those things need to be integrated into the analytics as well. So any business rules that will help drive the analytic decision-making need to be incorporated into those insights. And then once insights are available, it's really a change management aspect as well. So how do we work with the clients? How do we work with their stakeholder groups, whether it's clinical, finance, operational, team members, to understand that those analytics and those insights are available to them? And how can they start having conversations about how to drive changes across the organization based on what the insights are surfacing, what opportunities they're surfacing? And then don't stop there, right? Like, we need to have recurring conversations about the insights and the opportunities. We need to monitor how any changes that are being put on the organizations are tracking. Are the intended consequences actually proving to be what we expected? Or do we need to tweak something along the way?
All right, good deal, Heather. Thank you for that response. So let me move into our last question. I mean, time has just flown by here. We can actually talk for another hour or two on some of these items. But our last question for our discussion today, Brad, I'm gonna throw it out to you. You know, there are so many analytic solutions out there in the market, right? And as I admitted earlier, I'm not an IT guru, but even for some of the IT experts out there, you know, the process of landing on a solution that will best meet an organization's needs is probably challenging. You know, how do organizations go about assessing which solutions or platforms might work best for them? Any recommendations you can make for our listeners?
Honestly, I think some of this is a summarization of a lot of things that we've talked on. But I think, Mark, you're absolutely right. One, there's numerous, too many to count options out there. And that's a good thing, right? I think there's a lot of variability and great solutions out there for folks to use. And the second point there is most of those are definitely cost intensive. So it's an investment for sure. So I think that goes back to having that data culture. We're going to make this investment and we're going to bring the right folks in from the beginning. So I think when assessing a tool, it's assessing the use cases and the needs across the organization. So having those stakeholders involved and engaged upfront as we're making the tool choice and going about that, or whether it's enhancing an existing tool, right? This might not be an RFP bid that goes out. This may just be, hey, we have a tool in place right now and we need to reassess how we do data governance, how we do report creation and the publishing of those across the organization. I think starting with the stakeholders, with the leadership team, and then the day-to-day users, the analysts that are likely in that tool day in and day out, pulling the requests is critical. And that it's going to meet the needs moving forward, right? So I think it's important to say, is this something that we can spend the potentially, you know, 6 to 12 months? It doesn't have to be that long, but it's a long implementation. Is this going to be viable for us in years to come, right? So understanding that this is something that we want to have for the long term, and that it integrates with a lot of those source systems that you talked about, whether it's those core systems of my EHR or my ERP. I think that those are big components to think about when assessing a tool.
And Brad, maybe just to layer on top of that, like I think another thing that organizations can do to maximize the ROI on the analytics solutions that they have is really take a look at what stakeholders might be able to use the solutions that they have, right? Oftentimes, organizations buy a tool that is originally intended to fulfill a bunch of finance team use cases. So for example, maybe they're looking to margin profile their service lines, but there might actually be opportunity for the operations team or the supply management team to look in that same tool to see if there's opportunities to consolidate supply purchasing. And a successful analytics tool can really be used by multiple different stakeholder groups as opposed to requiring a different analytics solution for each group.
So Heather, just to layer onto that then, if I could put another layer onto that response, is that, you know, making sure that I think what you're talking about is just maximizing the tools, right? The ROI and the tools that a system currently has. Because sometimes, and I think what we find, and you and Brad would know better than I, but sometimes what we find is that there are different platforms, different solutions that are in play at a system, but organizations may not be maximizing them, right? Or optimizing the utilization of the systems to get all of the insights out of the system, the data, the insights that they potentially should be getting or could be getting.
Absolutely.
Great. And so Brad, you mentioned earlier that the data science tool that we recently developed brought to market, you know, what are the top 3 to 5 things that our data science tool is doing, or what data, what insights can an organization get out of our data science tool that they may not currently have access to today?
I think that the highest level is that service line analysis. So how can we really, in a meaningful way, group our cases, our visits together to show where our business is really occurring? And then where, from a margin perspective, you know, where are we in alignment with what we'd expect to? And where do we need to make some potential changes? And that could be, again, how do we consolidate supplies? Or it could be, is this an area where we potentially need to divest from the type of care we're giving? So I think the service line analysis is a big component of what the tool allows and what the tool does. And I think the great thing about the tool is it's both hospital institutional, it's professional, it's physician group. So you can see across your lines of business, all your data in one spot. So I think that's a huge component of what it's driving at. The other pieces that we've seen folks really, really utilize is that supply variation and being able to benchmark against their peers. So we've stayed away, honestly, from doing a lot of external benchmarking. We've done some of that comparatively for certain situations where questions have been asked, but we've found a lot more success in organizations looking and comparing against internal peers, because there's less pushback when it's the guy or woman next to you that you're looking at their cases, not some system in your general region where you probably have 10 different reasons why you don't think you should be compared to that individual case. And so I think being able to do that peer-to-peer comparison has been huge. And typically, again, in like service lines, like the orthopedics example that we gave, has been a big deal. And then I think the last one that I'll throw out there has been hit on is the reimbursement side. So being able to really hone in on things like DRG downgrades. So for a specific organization, identifying that over half their downgrades were related to septicemia DRGs. And so what definition are they using internally versus what the payers are using has been a big deal for organizations that we've worked with as we've thought about how do we really maximize the reimbursement opportunities.
Yep. And then I think too, coming full circle to how do you trust the data as well? Like in data science in particular, we do have 10 different source systems that we're pulling data sets in from, and we are able to link the data so you can see not only the executive level KPIs that help drive some of the decisions related to supply and just expenses at large, as well as revenue opportunities, but you can also go all the way into the detail. You can see the claims and encounter level of detail so that you can kind of substantiate what exactly is happening underneath the curtain.
So a lot of detail in the system, but it boils up to, you know, at a high level where organizations can, you know, can see some, again, higher level observations, indicators that, you know, that they can take action on, right? Because ultimately it's all about improving performance, whether that's clinical outcomes, financial performance, but improving overall performance. Well, guys, this discussion has just flown by. I can't thank you enough for joining me today. A couple of the key things we talked about, and I'm only gonna mention three, but there were a whole host of other key things. But I liked, Heather, how you started at the beginning, and I think it was you, may have been Brad at this point, but you know, you talked about a data-driven culture, right? And it's very important to have that culture within your organization. Again, if you're gonna be utilizing data to make decisions, you know, what problems, it seems so basic, right? But the question is, you know, what problems are we trying to solve for? And then you want the data that's being generated out of whatever platform or solution you're using to help you solve that problem. Brad, you talked about stakeholder involvement in, I think you were making reference to maybe the purchasing decisions or whatever, you know, the platform an organization might use to invest in here. And I think stakeholder involvement is just very, very significant, right? Getting buy-in from all the people that are affected by, you know, the data analysis, the data analytics. And then the final thing, Brad, that you said, which was, I think, a pretty awesome quote, was that good analytics can unify an organization. I think that is absolutely true. It can bring people together. You know, sometimes you do have at certain organizations, again, regardless of the industry sector, you might have the finance side of the house sitting in their own bubble. You've got the operations side of the house in their bubble. And the two never really come together jointly to work together, to make decisions together, analyze data together for the better of the organization. And I think there is something to be said about, again, working as a team, and good analytics platforms, I think, can certainly help an organization to do that. So those were my big takeaways, although there were many others embedded in our conversation. So again, thank you guys for joining me. I want to thank our listeners also for joining this podcast. If you found this episode useful and would like to listen to more episodes about hot topics in the healthcare industry, please subscribe to our Healthy Outcomes podcast or learn more by visiting us at bakertilly.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening. To receive notifications when new episodes are available, please subscribe on whichever platform you get your podcasts. For additional resources, check out bakertilly.com.